Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Pay attention to the fine print of hope, for the beginning is near. Hope, it can be such a nostalgic word, one we relegate to the world of childhood, to wishes and dreams that spring forth before our experience of the world teaches us that hope can be a foolish thing. And yet I would be hard-pressed to come up with many words more central to the life of Christian faith and to the season of Advent than hope. To hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation, to expect with confidence. At its core, to hope is to trust. When you trust, you know that you are never alone. For trust involves relying on someone or something other than yourself. And so, to trust is also to faith. Yes, I just made that a verb, to faith. Faith as a noun could be understood as having a relationship of trust with God and others, and a belief in the reality of grace. So, to faith can be seen as the cultivation of relationships of trust with God and others, and an active expectation and preparation for the reality of grace in our lives. To hope, to trust, to faith. These are our response to the unconditional love that God so abundantly gives us. It's almost a trinity of sort, to hope, to trust, to faith. They circle back on one another and are at the same time both a distillation of, but also an amplification of each other. Or to use theological imagery, they magnify each other. They magnify us. They magnify God. This is the fine print of hope. And this is why we pay attention to hope in Advent. For it is hope and its fine print that help us get ready to come close to the mystery and provide the lens in which we encounter again these sacred stories that we tell in anticipation and preparation of the incarnation. A shoot shall come from out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Today's passage from Isaiah tells of the hope of a prophet who has watched Israel, the northern kingdom, fall to the Assyrians, in part due to the machinations of Ahaz, king of Samaria, which was the southern kingdom. Isaiah longs for, hopes for, a righteous ruler from the line of David, who will usher in justice and peace across all creation. Ahaz is not that ruler. And so Isaiah proclaims words of judgment. The verses that immediately precede our reading for today tells of God lopping the boughs of the tallest trees and hacking down the thickets of the forest. The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. This is the setting for the new shoot that shall grow from the stump. This is how hope gets a start. It emerges as a tiny tendril in an unexpected place. Isaiah looked with anticipation, with hope, for one on whom the Spirit of the Lord would rest, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. We understand this text to be a messianic oracle, the expectation of an anointed one who would come and usher in the peaceable kingdom, where the wolf shall live with the lamb and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the final consummation of God's kingdom. And for us, this hoped-for Messiah was found in the one called the Christ, whose coming as a baby and whose coming as a judge we anticipate in this season of Advent. In our reading from Matthew today, we encounter John the Baptist, who is preparing the way for this Christ. With his call for repentance and his angry shout of, "You brood of vipers," and his images of the coming Messiah as one with an axe before trees and a winnowing fork in his hand to separate the wheat from the chaff, John does not appear to have been the most hopeful prophet. And yet at its root, what John was proclaiming was the fine print of hope, both trust and faith. He called out in anticipation of the coming one, relying on God's promise, alive with expectation and the outpouring of God's grace, while cultivating holy relationship with God in community. John knew that a new beginning was near. And in order to come close, you must prepare. You must make straight the paths of your heart and of your life. In this light, repentance is an act of hope. What John reminds us is that repentance is not primarily about our moral worthiness, but rather about God's desire to realign us to accord with Christ's life. Repentance is not about our guilt. It's about God's power to transform us into Christ's image. John knows that when this beginning arrives, the world will be transformed. In this light, Christ wielding that winnowing fork is a hope filled fulfillment of Isaiah's oracle, the one who shall have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and who will judge with righteousness. What John points us toward is the end of the world as we know it, and the inbreaking of God's reign, the fulfillment of which includes both true justice and peace throughout all creation. Advent calls us to respond to these prophets. The invitation of preparation and anticipation to the sacred stories that encourage us into deeper relationship to the fine print of hope. And make no mistake, our response is what we are called to give. It is what God hopes for. How will you hope, trust, and faith in the coming weeks? Where might the tendrils spring forth in your life? What are the ways that you will make straight the paths of your heart? When will you make time and space to repent and return to God? How will you prepare for the birth of God among us in your home, in your relationships, for our world? As we once again get ready to come close to this mystery of incarnation, may we greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, for the beginning is near. Amen.